Hello and welcome back to the Serious Writer Podcast. I'm Kyle Young here with Bethany Jett.
Hello.
And Bethany, we are going to continue today a discussion we've had over a couple other podcasts based on an article that was put out by Mary DeMuth, who is, DeMuth, who's a kind of a well-known, well-respected author with lots of books out. She's done really well, won awards, and is basically saying like 1% of authors can make a full-time living, support themselves full-time as a writer. And so she was breaking down the side hustle. She's become an agent now. That's why she was kind of sharing this, not only as a writer, but as an agent. And part of her side hustle is being an agent. And so we've been talking about over the last couple of podcasts. If you're listening to this and missed those, go back and listen to those. We talked about the article in the first one, and then we kind of broke it down how you can make money in some ways as a writer. And then we kind of expanded upon that a little bit. So we're going to do another episode, even going further than just writing and like social media, into making money in the writing world, because there's lots of ways. And so we talked about doing, using your phone to create videos to get a lot of the bonuses from Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, where they pay you, and they actually pay you up to $35,000 extra bonuses a month if you get enough views. So there's lots of ways there. We talked about technical writing, copywriting, self-publishing, publishing. We've talked about ghostwriting, working for hire, all those things in the last episode. Go check it out. So this episode, Bethany, we're going to cover some other ways that you can make an income in the vicinity of writing, maybe not just with writing, but in the vicinity of the writing world. How can you can make money that hopefully you can add up those side hustles to a full-time income and support yourself as a writer? What are your thoughts?
Let's talk about speaking first, probably. Okay. Really great for nonfiction authors, even children's books. I mean, our friend Michelle Medlock Adams, we read at an event, sold out of all of her children's books when she was there because the audience wanted them for their kids and grandkids. And so, you know, they wanted to buy all the books.
Well, you kind of jumped ahead. That's two, right? Speaking is one. Back of the room sales is two. So way to jump ahead, Bethany.
Well, so. Okay. But if you can be speaking on your topic, it's a great way to sell books. And we talked a little bit about self-publishing in the last episode. But I mean, if you're controlling your speaking career and how many people are going to be there, or even getting people to buy in bulk, which we have not talked about, mm-hmm. you know, for events, that's an even better way to make some money on your books, is by having it available at conferences and getting the conference people right. to buy your book.
So speaking, you're kind of sharing a twofold approach. Yes. Number one is speaking. You get paid to speak. You get paid to speak. People will bring you in, pay you to speak. You'll get money. When you start out, if you're not well known, you don't have a big book or platform, you won't get as much. You might do it for free, although there's all different theories of don't do it for free ever. And then, but you got to build up to being able to command an audience. And then speaking is not for everybody. It's really not. No. But if you speak and get paid, and some people get paid very well. We have a friend that travels all over the world, Dubai, doing his little humor show for about storytelling. Stephen James, very famous author, and gets paid quite well, I'm sure, to do those things. So you can do that. But also when you do that, you can do back of the room sales, which in the back of the room, you sell your books that you write, and you make an additional income. Yep. And you can make significant. If you have a high sell-through, this is one of the things that actually I pitch to publishers, Beth. I don't know, people don't know all the things that we do as agents.
Let's talk about it.
But as an agent, I will, if I have a speaker who travels a lot and speaks, I will get the speaker to figure out what the sell-through is. What is the percentage of attendees that purchase the book? Right. And I tell publishers that, because if that's a high percentage, that's a well-performing. They know that if they send this author out, he's going to speak in front of 20,000 children, and they're going to offer his book for sale at that school, and he has a 15% sell through. They know how many books are going to sell. It's right. simple. If it's a female speaker who's traveling the country and she's speaking on average of groups of like 200 people, and she's got a 50-60% sell through, which is not impossible, and they know they're going to sell 100 plus books every time she speaks. So they ship out books, they ship out boxes, and they work together to sell the books. So the front of the room would be the speaking, and the back of the room sales would be the books. And so it's kind of a double way to make money through speaking.
Yes. Well, my question to you was, what is a good sell through rate? So,
I mean, I don't know. Like, I know it's high, right? Like if you come to me with it really depends on how many people you're in front of. If you sell 80% but you only speak 100 people a year, that's not going to change the dial, right? It all goes to the number of heads that you're in front of and the sell-through rate that you have. I could sell somebody with a 20% sell-through if they speak to 400,000 people a year. I can sell somebody with a 50, 60% sell-through if they, I potentially can sell them, if they speak in front of, you know, 5,000 people a year. It's 2,500 books or 3,000 books. So, and these are just arbitrary numbers I'm making up. So I'm not saying these are like litmus, like Kyle said, but I can get my contract. Like it is all relative to what's going on and how what your sell-through is. People don't know this, but those big conferences that go around and there's 17,000 people in the room, and like especially in like CBA and worship conference, and you think, wow, that speaker is up there between the bands, and I want to go buy that book because everybody's going to buy that book. Sometimes they sell like 15 copies to 17,000 people. That's a terrible sell. And so just by having those opportunities to be in front of massive groups of people don't actually mean that there's going to be sell through. Because to me, sell through is when someone has the opportunity to have the ability to purchase. You don't often have that at a lot of those events. And so we've had an author who got on one of those tours and it just did not have a good sell through. And the author who was the headliner, Christy Kane, I think sold like 40 books one event and like 20 books another event. Like I was surprised how few books were moved at such large events. And that can change. You can find an event of 1500 people and it'll have a sell through of 50%. And it's just the way, it's just the crowd. It's the niche. It's the voice of the author. It's what the book says. It all has to come together. And so if you can figure out how you can move products, it's good. Now, if you're a comedian, you're trying to sell a book about carrots, no, it's probably not going to sell. Right. And maybe even less is funny. So, but like if you had a comedian and the book was full of jokes and just hilarious, your people, if they love your comedy, you're probably going to buy the book. So it could work for any kind of speaker, but it's a way to basically make more money in this industry to help you further your career. And a book is a great way to help a speaker make more money.
If you have a carrot book, please send Kyle your sales numbers.
You've got a carrot book.
You're wrong.
Let me see it. We'll see. I'm not looking for carrot books. It's not a thing.
You're going to get so many submissions.
I'm going to get like, I wrote a book about a crazy carrot. I do have a carrot book that's actually I love. It's a creepy carrot. That's what made me think about carrots. But don't send me carrot books necessarily. I'm not into carrots. But so yeah, so speaking. The other way is like teaching or training. And there's a lot of different ways to do this. So why don't you share maybe one idea, Bethany, and we'll kind of go back on some of the different ways you can do teaching or training to make money. Let's know teaching, training, and coaching all as a category, but they really are different.
They're different.
So maybe why don't you take teaching? Why don't you take teaching? I'll take training and then we'll throw out coaching out there.
When you say teaching, are you talking about courses? Or are you talking about like reels?
We're just talking about generally teaching for money.
Teaching for money. Okay. So this could go so many different ways. So, I don't know which way you want me to go with this. I think that you can do teaching in a lot of ways. You can do teaching in person, but you can also do teaching online. You can teach through courses. I'm always grateful for people who chose to teach through videos on YouTube, because when our washing machine broke and it was one sensor on the one washer, this one man filmed himself taking it apart with all the things I needed. And my husband was out of town. And I was so grateful that he had the mindset to teach how to do this. And it was such a small thing. But here's kind of like my soapbox, if you will, is that so many writers do so many cool things and they never talk about it. They never teach on it. They don't show you the process. They don't explain the steps. But I think that is how you can grow a really great following and engaged audience, because people want to know how to do certain things. And it may not be directly related to their writing, so they're not considering that as an option. But you can make a lot of money by teaching, because you're building an audience of people who need to know. So you got to go back to the basics, like what are the steps? And Kyle, when I first got started, like I told you in the last episode, I could write a proposal. So I started teaching people how to write a proposal, because that's all I knew.
Right.
And that's how I got started.
Yeah. I mean, and that's really, when it comes down to like the difference between teaching and training, we probably should break this down for people.
Please.
Teaching is where
I don't want to say what
I think you're I need to break saying? It down for you, Bethany. Tell me. Let's be honest. If you're listening to this right now, you're like, Bethany has no idea what the difference is.
Bethany out there in the deep end.
So let me tell you what the difference is, Bethany. So the difference with teaching and training, teaching is where you teach like a plethora of information to give this person like a general knowledge or increase them in knowledge in something. So like in the writer's world, if I go to a writer's conference and I listen to a workshop with a presenter, it's generally teaching. Training is a more in-depth to really teach you specialized, individualized skills that you need. And so training would be if I go to a writer's conference and they're offering a workshop, and I take that as teaching. If I go to what would be called like a practicum or an in-depth training on a very specific task or a niche, then I'm being trained and I'm deepening my skill set in one specific venue. So teaching and training are often used interchangeably by people, but there is a subtle difference in the way that the words can be used, and they do have a subtle difference of meaning. Now, the next one is coaching. Coaching is teaching and training with someone leading you through that to develop your skills over a set of time so that you are proficient moving forward. I can go to a training to learn the difference with how to show versus tell. If I have someone coach me show versus tell, they're going to walk me through that over time until I am proficient. But the training can be temporary and I may not be totally sufficient at the end of a training necessarily, but I will be after a coaching. That's the goal.
Well, in consulting, which is kind of where I specialize in, is different than coaching, because coaching is that kind of more personal walkthrough together. Like, we're going to do this together. As consulting, which you can do too and make great money at, is more coming in as like the advisor, like, okay, here's the steps you need to take, go do it and come back, and then we'll go through it for the next.
Yeah. Step. Yeah. Consulting would be, I think consulting and training are very similar. You know, training is something I may go to training and there's 50 other people there. Coaching, I'm going to have a lot less people. I'm going to get more hands-on, and that's really going to be the difference when it's hands-on training. That's really when you move into coaching. And so how to make money at these things? Simple. You can go to writers' conferences and talk about the writing that you're doing and learn to do. There's writers' conferences all over the country, all over the world. Every different genre and niche has writing conferences. Even for different states have writing conferences. A different niche in a different state will have a writing conference. You can go to writing conferences everywhere. They may not pay a lot, and they may pay a good bit. And it really, they don't normally pay very much. But you can go and you can teach, or you can train, and really you're going to find more teaching and training at those type of opportunities where you'll get paid to present. And it is speaking, but it's not speaking in the sense that you're probably going to have a lot of back of the room sales. It's more of a one-off event, and it's a way to make money. You're not probably going to make a full-time income doing that, especially with the state of the world we're in with COVID and the economy and all that stuff right now. But there have been, before pre-COVID, people did make a full-time income moving around the country and teaching and training. Coaching would be, Bethany, you've done a lot of coaching where you have worked with people through their books. And as you've noticed that they needed more teaching and training and things, you've hands-on walk with them, show them how to do it, walk through the corrections with them. I know you've done this where you've marked it out, kind of told them how to do it. And that's really coaching. And I think when it comes down to one of the most valuable ways to make money on a side hustle, coaching is definitely one. You know, people need to develop skills, and not everybody is capable of just sitting in a workshop and walking out and doing what they were taught to do. They will understand, they have a general knowledge. I've had people, Bethany, tell me, and you can say this, I've had people tell me that was a great workshop. I really understand this now, but I don't know how to do it.
Yes,
exactly. And so how do you move them forward when people say that to you?
I love that we're making this distinction here, because people get, writers get so afraid of putting any of their content in a book because they think, or putting it anywhere online because they are afraid, oh, now I'm not going to be able to put it in my book. But you share content differently, speaking, podcasts, social media, book, article, all of those things, because it's all down to craft. Same thing with this. If you're teaching, you're usually doing one of two things. You're either giving a bird's eye view of the situation, or you're walking them step by step. Those are things that you can be doing publicly and sharing and building your audience. When it transitions into more of the income side, because you could do that as a course, remember these three words, four words, people pay for personal. I was thinking people
pay for personal.
Personal, and that's three P's. But
I think that's true. People pay for personal. Your three P's there. Coaching. One of the best things I ever did was do coaching with Diane Mills, amazing fiction writer. I wanted to be better at fiction. So basically she took me to the book. She showed me what I did wrong. And she told me why. We would sit down and talk about it. And I would go write some more and we would talk and I would try to do better. And we would talk. It was well worth paying her to coach me. And I think that one of the things, I think too many people try to gain knowledge from teaching and training courses or videos when what they really need is hands-on coaching, which will cost more.
Right.
But I think has a more, a longer lasting benefit because you become proficient. And not all teaching and not all training makes you proficient. Coaching can make you proficient. And that's important. So, but you know, there's going rates to all these things on the internet, like teaching, training, all those type of things. And so that's a way you can coach other writers who are not as skilled as yourself to understand writing. But when it comes to teaching and training, Bethany, there's so many ways online, Udemy, all these other courses are out there. Everywhere I go, you can click to go find a course to teach you more. I mean, maybe you're into woodworking and you can go teach a woodworking class. Yeah. It's not writing, but you can make money doing it. Maybe you can teach a class online for whatever your hobbies are. Maybe it's a quilting or whatever it is. You can go teach a class. Somebody will download the video and you'll get paid repetitively for that teaching and training. And it's a way to make an income. I know an agent who was making $5,000 a month doing like online courses. And it wasn't through like an academy, like Stuart. It was really just through Udemy. Udemy at 10 bucks a pop, just those courses, tens of thousands of views. And they got paid 10 bucks a pop. So it added it up and it was a really good income for a while. Those opportunities are out there through teaching and training and coaching. Another one, editing. Let's talk about how you make money through editing.
Editing can be very expensive, so it can be very lucrative for you if you are a really good editor. And I think my caution here is know what kind of editing you're really good at before you start charging people, because there's a developmental edit, and these words change. There's really not one industry standard for them. People call them all kinds of things, but developmental edit, Kyle, that for fiction, nonfiction, children's, looking kind of like the scope of it. Does it make sense? Are you missing other holes? Is the structure wrong? Those kinds of things, just in a nutshell. And then copy editing. Let's see, I always confuse the two because I think the name should be different. Line editing is when you're looking for grammar, punctuation. You're like, if you're really good at grammar stuff, you might be really great at that. And then copy editing is also like proofreading. And there's other editing people say too, but that's where you're going through and looking for like very detail oriented. So usually you're really good at maybe one, maybe two.
There's one more out there, beta reading, right?
Yeah.
Beta reading, all which pay. And so
reading too, that is something that is popular right now as well.
And these are like standardized things. Like you can go online, search copywriting rates, line editing rates, developmental editing rates. You can search proofreading rates. You can search beta reading rates. Like this, there's a standard that most people, and the standard can go up and down depending on how good of an editor you are or how new you are, but you can make a good living. You've done this, Bethany. You've made quite a bit of money being an editor through your business that you had. And so ultimately it is a good way to make money. And so you might get $25 to read somebody's book and give me your opinion on it. That's it. Well, if you can read a book quick, 25 bucks is good. I know people make $150 to beta read a book and write a one-page synopsis of what they think you should do to improve the book. Well, it's not bad for 3 hours of time, 50 bucks an hour to read. Like you can make a full-time living for people at 50 bucks an hour if you can keep enough books coming through to read.
On the editing side, you can make hundreds to a few thousand dollars depending on the word count and what type of editing you're doing. And if you build to a client, you know, you build up your clientele and word of mouth is going to be huge with that kind of work too. And here's the thing. People might not like us after I say this, but it's true. Not all authors can edit and not all editors.
They're different parts of the brain.
It is.
Right? It's right, lame, right brain, left brain. Right brain is more of the creative side, the writing, but left brain is more of the detail oriented side. And so you have people who are more left brain with more right brain. And you might find that you're just a great editor. What is it? It's not Charles Hemingway. I always mess it up.
I was about to say,
whoever the Charles guy is. I'm pretty sure it was Charles.
This is why we don't do these.
Well, listen, we'll just go Ernest Hemingway. Cause I don't know the other guy's name. Ernest Hemingway had an editor, right? He had an editor. All of them have an editor. Every book needs an editor. Every famous book you've ever read has been edited. There's millions of books released every year. They're for the most part, anything that's published well has been edited. And so although there's millions of writers, there's not millions of editors. And so there has the potential to be, but not doing it and making income. So there's lots of opportunities to edit books to make money. And that's a way that you can make money is through editing. And also with that coaching could also be editing through a book for somebody while you teach them why you did and change what you changed all the way through. Every editor is not equal. And I'll be honest with you. I talk to publishers when they find good editors, they pay them well because editors can make or break a book. I've seen books go from not so good to really great after an editor's had their hands on it. And if you want to see an example of that, watch the movie Book of Love on Amazon Prime. So it's a good example of it. I don't have anything to do with that movie. Just, I enjoyed it. So it's about books. Book of Love? So I'm just throwing nonsense out now.
No, was that a book? Is that a show?
Yeah, it's Book of Love. It's about a guy who, an Englishman who writes a book. It gets translated in Spanish. She changes the whole book. It becomes an international bestseller. It's not his book. And ultimately it's a love story. So it's great. I really like it.
All right.
So other ways to make money. We talked about coaching. We talked about training. We talked about editing. What's that?
Sponsorships.
And some of these things you have to have the platform for. Sponsorships where someone will pay you to feature their product on your platform with your audience through your email marketing, whatever it is. You can get sponsorship. That's usually you have to do the other things right and have the platform first. But sponsorship, I have authors who make full-time living through sponsorship. They have large platforms and people pay them every day to do deals and to show the products. And I've done a lot of sponsorship and it's great. I love it. So I wish I could do more of it. So you can be a macro versus micro influencer. We'll do that in another podcast. We'll talk about the difference between being a micro influencer versus a macro influencer. Most people think macro influencers, but micro influencers right now are in vogue and sponsors are looking for micro influencers. So that's the thing.
Let's talk about that real quick. Because you don't have to have a huge platform. You have to have a very engaged platform.
You don't have to have a huge platform. They need to be engaged. And we'll talk more about that in that episode, which is macro versus micro influencers. Beth is trying to get ahead, guys. I'm not going to let her. It's not going to do it. So, so those are some ways that you can make money in the writing world. The other thing is not everybody has the skill to do it, but it's book cover, book design, book layout. They're all different. There is a person who makes the pages look pretty. There's a person that makes the cover look pretty. There's a person who edits through the whole thing and makes sure it looks good all the way through. And those are usually paid by people called packagers who will hire these people to design a book cover, to design the pages. And so you only have them pretty little squigglies or floral things at the, right after the chapter title. Somebody has designed the look of that book and got paid well to do it. And someone has designed your cover. Someone has designed your title page. Someone has designed all those things. When you have your book laid out in a nonfiction, someone has actually designed how the book looks all the way through with layout. That's the thing. And there's money in that. And if you have the skills and ability to do that, there's also in the self-publishing realm, people who just take your manuscript and will format it to be self-published and give you the exported document that you can then upload to Amazon and you pay them for that. And there's money in there and there's lots of programs you can do it for free. But people use those programs for free and just do it for you and you pay them. So there's all kinds of ways to make money in this industry. Go ahead.
One more. If you're really good at creating graphics, do it for authors. Overwhelmingly do not want to make their own social media graphics. I hear it all the time. But if you're good at it, then why not have a package? I will create X number of graphics for you from your book that you can put online and pay me extra and I'll schedule them for you. That is something I'm telling you, if you're good at that and like doing it, you couldn't probably make a very good income because writers do not want to do that.
Nope.
Kyle shaking his head.
And we got a whole other category that we were supposed to do in this and we never got to, which is marketing. Uh-huh. And we can talk about that. I think we need to talk about marketing, how to make money and marketing as a whole other episode, because I know that's kind of like Bethany's specialty and that's going to take the whole time. So, because it's a lot of information and it's a good way for you to understand the marketing, but also how you can make money marketing other people's books. Yeah. We'll do marketing and agenting's a way that you can make money promoting. Marketing and promotion is different. So you need to be aware of those two things are totally different categories. And so we need to talk about those things. Mm-hmm. In another episode. So we'll make sure to do that, have a follow-up episode about marketing promotion, how to make money and support your side hustle through PR, publicity, marketing, promotion, all those things on the next episode. We hope you've enjoyed this. We hope you got new ideas to make money as a writer in the writing realm of influence so you can support your writing and be successful. And Bethany, thanks for being here again. It's always fun. You know, thanks for sharing the three P's and not knowing what teaching versus training was. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for that. Thanks for that one.
We don't really talk to each other about what we know. We just start talking. So ultimately, sorry about that, Bethany, I apologize. And we will correct that in the next episode. We're trained up and we'll talk marketing promotion on the next one. Go back and listen to our previous ones if you want more ideas in the last episode. And if you want to know about the article we're basing all of this off of by Mary DeMuth, go back to a couple podcasts from now and listen. And we hope you're excited to go out and do some of these things. We'll catch you on another episode of Serious Writer Podcast soon.
Bye-bye.